gotten there. Thanks for doing this, by the way.
Oh, no problem.
Was happy to help out Colleen. She's a busy lady.
I've got to talk to her a little bit on the phone. Yeah, she sounded to...
Yeah. Okay, so first we'll start off. What is your name, title, where do you work, and where are you from?
My name is Tyler Griffith. I am a HEMER leader, heavy mobile equipment repair leader at ECS 67. And I currently live in Cataract.
Okay, great. That's Wisconsin.
Okay. Yes, yes.
I just moved here from Chicago.
Oh, okay, it's just north of Sparta.
Okay, yeah. Cool. In your own words, can you describe what occurred on the morning of May 24th?
I was on my morning commute, and I was probably 3-4 minutes away from the house, and turned on one of the side roads, and happened to look and see a porch on fire, and the first thing I thought of was, that's weird for somebody to be burning stuff this early in the morning, and then I realized nobody was out there. So I turned my car around and whipped it into their driveway and ran out and started banging on the door to wake everybody up. And they were pretty asleep in the house. It took them a little, what felt like a long time for them to answer the door. And when they finally did, I said, hey, you need to get everybody out. Your house is on fire. Where's your garden hose at? And so she kind of snapped to a little bit and ran me around to the back side of the house where they luckily still had the hose out from the night before, I'm guessing, from pressure washing something. The pressure washer was there too. And she turned the hose on, and I grabbed the hose, and she ran back in to get her kids and husband and stuff out. Boyfriend, maybe, I'm not really sure on that. And I dragged the hose around the corner of the house and did the old thumb on the end of the hose trick and started spraying the fire until it was completely out and made sure everybody was good. And, you know, I, at the point I realized that I had forgotten something at the house. So I ran back to the house then, but before I left, I made sure everybody was good and pretty much just, all right, see you later. Like, yeah, I made it back to the house and did what I had to do. Stopped at the store, got a breakfast sandwich, and still made it to work on time. I think it was like the bizarre thing about that. And talking to my dad, he said, apparently you leave for work too early if you have that much free time.
Yeah. So... just a little bit about your background. Mm-hmm. So you served and you currently serve?
Currently serve, yeah.
Yeah, so how does that work for people that aren't aware
of well,
you know, anyone who's not just straightforward enlisted?
So. Yeah, so a little bit of my background here. I was 4 years active duty Marine Corps. Then I did 10 years in the National Guard in North Carolina. Did some civil service things down there like hurricane duties and stuff like that. But and then moved up here to the be in the Army Reserves. And so the way dual status MilTech works is you have to be in the Army Reserves to be employed here. And I guess that's kind of it, honestly. It's kind of,
yeah. So what is your rank in the Army Reserves?
I'm a Staff Sergeant, E6 right now.
Okay, great. Just want to make sure we get all
correct
and stuff. I come from the civilian world,
so oh, yeah.
Overly cautious.
Oh, no worries, no worries.
Titles. Would you say you also said you're a Marine and National Guard too, but would you say your Army/Marine training and values was a factor in your split decision to help save the family from the fire? If so, how?
I think it was. Not that I've never had any like formal firefighter training outside of basic like fire extinguisher, you know, aim at the base of it and squeeze the handle or, you know, like basic safety stuff. But I think just the training of it, of the military itself, kind of prepares you for those situations in a way that's almost hard to comprehend because it just felt automatic. It was just do what needs to be done and we'll deal with the after effects later, you know. So it was just, to me, it felt like an autopilot until afterwards, then the adrenaline kicked in and it was like, holy crap, like,
yeah.
What just happened?
You kind of realize, oh, I might have saved their life.
Yeah, yeah, and I found that out later. The fire department said it had been probably a minute or two more, or had nobody stopped it, the parents would have been separated from their kids and wouldn't be able to get to them in the house. So that was a really,
wow.
Having kids myself, that was a really sobering thing right there, you know?
Yeah. Do you have any heroes that you look up to? Did you wonder how they would react and follow their footsteps?
Well, of course. I mean, the easy one would be my dad. That's why I came up to serve in the reserves, was to serve with him before he retired. And I'd like to think just the way my family is, he retired Army, my sister was in the Marine Corps. My twin sister was actually a firefighter for years. So I think that's just kind of a natural thing for our family to do. I don't think anybody would hesitate, honestly, doing something like that.
Great. So speaking of that, how does your family, your friends, coworkers, react to what you did? Do they call you Superman now?
They do. They throw on things like they call me hero and stuff like that, and fireman, and when I tell them how it all went down and the fact that I just kind of left without saying my name or anything, they're like, that is the most Tyler thing that I've ever heard, because that's just the type of person I am. I don't ever seek praise for what I do. I mean, it's just humility, you know. So they're like, holy crap, why are you just not all over the place with this? I'm like, it was just a normal Friday, other than the fire part, you know. It's like, I still had work to do, so.
Yeah. Okay, so what's next for you? Are you considering getting into firefighting now?
No, I think the window is closed on that avenue. I mean, I have considered possibly at some point maybe doing like a volunteer fire department stuff. But not too seriously looking into that. I have a daughter that plays sports, so there's not a lot of free time in my life.
Yeah, just as important to be there for them.
Yes.
What would your message be to anyone else who finds themselves in a similar situation to what you dealt with on that morning?
Don't be afraid to help people. I mean, at the end of the day, yes, it's a small town and a lot of people know each other, but there's tons of good people in the world, and any sort of action is better than inaction, and just treat people how you want to be treated. I mean, I would hope that somebody would have done the same for me had the roles been reversed, and I just hope that the humble good people out there that find out about this, that it's okay to talk about it, and it's okay to be happy about, you know, doing this. Sorry, I'm terrible with
No, that's,
like,
that's great. All this is great, trust me. I interview people all the time, and you're right up there with the most articulate so far, so don't worry about it. Okay, so yeah, just curious more in the background since we got the story. So where in the Marines did you serve?
I was stationed in Japan for 2 years.
Oh, nice. Which part?
Okinawa.
Nice.
I loved it. Being a Midwest farm kid to stationed in Japan right away, I mean, it was insane. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
In 2006, I was deployed to Iraq.
Okay.
And then in 2008, I was deployed to Iraq again after I moved to North Carolina, Cherry Point.
Gotcha.
And then transferred out of that and joined the Army National Guard. And I did. You can't sneak up on me, buddy.
What are you doing?
I'm doing an interview here.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you are. So I did that and did some state active duty missions with them. We were a maintenance unit and did hurricane response. We would go down and pre-position ourselves to help the community with whatever needs arose, usually evacuation, transport, and stuff like that, or anything that the townships needed. Did that for, well, I was a mil tech down there too, and then, like I said, had an opportunity to come up here and serve with my dad and come back home, because I was born down by Burlington and raised up north, and had an opportunity to come home, and here we are.
Very nice. Cool. Yeah, I was just curious. My brother and my dad are Marines, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my brother had the jackpot. He got Miramar.
Oh, yeah. My sister was at Miramar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So every time I visit him, I'm like, man, you got lucky.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And then stepdad was Japan as well.
Okay.
Yeah, and he loves it. He's obsessed. He still goes back all the
time. Oh, yeah. I would absolutely love to go back.
Yeah. So he always tells me, if you go to Okinawa, opportunity, because they send us civilians too, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's like, go to Japan. He's like, Okinawa.
Culture is cool. Yeah, culture is cool. Food is amazing.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much. Here, we'll wrap this up.
Cool.
And then we'll grab some photos.